Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition of this program, going until 2 o'clock today. And as usual, we encourage you to participate in the discussion that takes place. We have with us today as the technical operator and producer, John Stout, and I am David Ellis. One of the interesting pieces of information coming my way has been an editorial in the British Medical Journal, which is essentially calling for politicians around the world who would have mishandled the coronavirus to be held accountable. It points in particular to countries like the United States, the United Kingdom, Brazil, India, Mexico. And it also takes a jab at media practitioners in many of these countries, saying that the media has to remember its duty to speak truth to power, to hold elected officials accountable. But instead of doing that, it says much of the media is complicit, trapped in what is called ideological silos that see the pandemic through a lens of political tribalism. And media people are worried about telling pandemic truths to their readers and viewers, owners and political friends. In fact, it says truth has become dispensable as politicians and their allies are allowed to lie, mislead, and repaint history with barely a hint of challenge from journalists and broadcasters. It goes on to observe this. Anybody who dares to speak truth to power is classified as unpatriotic, disloyal, or a hardliner. It talks too about ministers in the UK, for example, how they interact with the media through what's described as sanitized interviews, stage managed press conferences, off the record briefings to favored correspondents, and when the going gets tough, by simply refusing to appear. This editorial in the British Medical Journal says it is this environment that has allowed COVID denial to flourish, for unaccountability to prevail, and for the great lies of world-beating pandemic responses to be spun. And it raises these questions. How many excess deaths does it take for a chief scientific or medical advisor to resign? How long should test and trace fail the public before a minister of health or chief advisor steps down? How many lucrative contracts for unscientific diagnostic tests that are awarded to cronies or errors in education policy will lead to a ministerial sacking? This editorial in the British Medical Journal just highlights the fact that across the globe, COVID-19 is not the only thing that many countries have in common, that the approach to how it has been dealt with is also something that you see having a common thread in many, many countries. From where I sit, it appears to me that the science and the politics never mix. And once you are trying to deal with the politics, then you're going to run into trouble. This idea that the health has nothing to do with the economics is not really true. I've listened to the Director General of the World Health Organization constantly make the point that there is a real and direct link between health and economic wealth. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's say good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. How are you keeping?
I'm well, and you?
I'm all right. As usual, a little bit disturbing and scared, Council. You're going to tell me to calm down. I don't know if you read yesterday's paper, page 10A, and the headline, pension reform on the cards. I'm just going to read the first paragraph.
When we read this to you last week, Friday, when we read the IMF report on Barbados.
Okay, my thing is then, since you read it, because it's paying attention to civil servants and their pension system. Why is it that the IMF is not recommending to the Barbados government to offload some of the ministers, get rid of the consultants? Because I still cannot understand a government that has 26 ministers will want consultants also. It says a lot. To me, the only way I can interpret it, that those people don't know what they're doing. Because you're actually asking for reinforcement, as far as I am concerned. And to those people who will come and say they have a political agenda, yes, all of us have political genders, but the difference between me and them, don't care who they are, and you do foolishness, I can say that. Because everything...
I think in all of this, we got to bring some realism to the table, though, you know. Let's step back a little and remember where we were before COVID. We've been through a very difficult economic situation for about 12 years prior to COVID. And therefore, once COVID came and set back the economy in the way that it has, there can be no miracle. It is all well and good for us to sit down here and point out how bad the situation is. But for a long time, most people in this country had no proper answer to the economic problems that we have been facing. And COVID has really exacerbated that. Let's be realistic about it. If you want to talk about mistakes that have been made along the way in terms of how you deal with this economy, well, I'm prepared to hear what those are. But I sit in a world where it is not enough to come and beat up on anybody to say, well, you know, the situation is this bad, and make it seem as though it is, you know, it is something of our own making right now.
Yeah, but David, yes, the situation was bad, but who made it worse? Who made the promises? Who made the promises that have been broken?
That have been broken? Let me hear what the promises are.
You remember that it was said that no one would have been sent home. Remember that the last government was criticized the amount of ministers.
You sound as though you're speaking. Look, I agree with you on the question of the ministers. I really think, and I've said so before COVID, I agree that what is happening here in this regard is difficult to defend. You cannot be in this kind of crisis that we are in. And I agree that, you know, COVID has made it exceedingly difficult. The Prime Minister can't justify this to them, to nobody else. She may be able to justify it to herself and her close advisors and supporters. But most right-thinking people looking at this situation would say to you, it is hard. It was difficult to justify on the grounds of you need all the hands available to help. And it is more difficult now when you're dealing with COVID, because when you look around, we have to say what we see. We cannot hide from this. Let me finish the point. So I agree with you on that, because when you look around at the size of the cabinet, and when you look at who is speaking to issues in Barbados at the moment, you only have but a handful of these people in cabinet whose voices can be heard on anything. All right. So if that is happening, it is going to breed this concern about what are they being paid to do. So I agree with you on that. But I want to say, having said that, Mr. P, that in general terms, this is a very sticky and difficult wicket to bat on.
Yeah, but David, my concern is, right, and I ask simple questions. When you are pruning a tree, you should start at the top. Why is it that when these things are happening. You start at the roots. Anytime that you go to the roots and you're not putting fertilizer, you're looking to kill the tree. That's what you're doing. Right?
Having said that, though, I want to say to you this, that it still will not be enough. It is a drop in the bucket in comparison to where we are right now. But the symbolism matters. I have always felt so. Symbolism matters. Thank you very much. Let's move on. Thanks. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, you know.
Good, good. Look, would you agree that the media, mainstream radio and television like that, not the media they're talking about, should be the guard man and watchman and watchdog of the country?
I would accept that. Good. That's part of our role. But we also have a role to play to, well, in overall, it's about national development. And well, what are the things that are required to help in national development? That's how I see it.
That's fair enough. But why it is that you see the goalposts get shifted about when certain topics and certain breaking news stories that occur in the media does chief book the goalposts?
Well, you got to explain that to me. I don't know what
you
mean.
Well, you know that I can explain it. For instance, right? When you have a breaking news, especially with an accident, and this is breaking news, that Zimbabwe or whoever come with this breaking news, and when they get the detail of what really transpired and whatever, you also hear the name of the deceased. You hear what the deceased, if he's driving or riding or whatever, you hear the vehicle that he was, or she, when I say he, I mean he or she, they're using. You hear where he come from, and then you go to the other person, the other party that is involved. You hear that body name, you hear the body vehicle and all that. But you know, last weekend when Ezra Mosley, was killed on the highway. You heard he was a pedal cyclist. You heard that he get killed on the highway. And you heard that a SUV was involved. You never hear the name of who they're driving that SUV.
I don't.
David, hold on, David.
You want to fight with me now, right? But I'm telling you that I have seen reports. Anyhow, go on, talk, man. Because anyhow, you intent on having your say. Go on.
No, I intend to show you how.
Because I don't agree with you.
Pardon?
I have seen and heard reports of who was involved at the other level. So I don't know that the media in general in this country has hidden that. You may feel that one part of the media didn't give you the details, but that was reported.
David, I am saying to you. I listen to the media. I listen to CBC. I listen to VOB. I even listen to the police, buddy. And the only time that I know who was driving the SUV is social media. So let me talk. And I am saying to you, David Ellis, if it was David Ellis' son or Wesley's son or daughter, it would be splashed all over the areas. So, and then last week, we get upset with a guy asking who bring we from Africa. Well, let me tell you something. Africa don't want about half of we, man. If we can behave in this fashion. Because we constantly, you know, who, it all depends on who you is and how deep your pocket is. And that's how mainstream media district to the capital of Barbados. And that's the truth. You can't deny that.
Well, you know, I'm not in a position to say that I listen to every media house that has put out information on this. What I'm in a position to say to you is that I actually saw information which indicated that it was the 17-year-old son of Paul the Surfer Bourne.
True,
I don't know
media,
that.
David.
Man, you telling me where I see it?
It did not.
You are, excuse me.
Did not come to your radio. Did not
excuse me. Excuse me. I am dealing with the fact that you came first. I thought you were making a broad charge against the media. And I've said, broadly speaking, it is not correct if that were being said. No, you are limiting it to just CBC and Voice of Barbados. I cannot speak about that.
I also tell you, I did not hear it from the police either.
Well, how would you normally hear it from the police? You're going to hear it from the police. Listen, you're only going to hear it from the police.
When they come from mainstream radio. When they come from
mainstream radio. Why you don't just give me a break? All two of us can't talk at the same time.
Yeah, but you don't crisscross people, though, and put your own agenda.
Man, talk. When you finish, I will just let you go along.
No, I go on. You talk.
No, I ain't got nothing else to say. Because, I mean, if you're going to be that kind of, bring that kind of attitude on the issue, I'm sorry. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Morning.
A blessing new year to you. Now, Mr. Ellis, let me ask you a question. I want to carry back to Friday. You made a statement, so I just want a little clarification on it. You had a conversation with a gentleman in connection with how reporters report news. You remember that conversation? You said, when someone reported, you could tell something is going to happen?
I didn't. The man said that, not me.
Good. But you said, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, can I take this opportunity to wish you a blessed retirement or a promotion? Because you say until February. So you want to know if he's leaving the station?
Let me tell you something. When the time comes for a formal announcement on that, you know, I will let you know exactly what I'm doing.
What you said on Friday, not me.
I agree with you.
Huh?
I agree with you. But let me make it clear to you.
So that's what
if I wanted to say more, I would have said so. So you
well,
will.
That, if, no, I didn't want it, you already brought
when
me
I need to
you.
when I need your congratulations in more detail,
I don't want to lose your program. Go on, David.
I just want to say that once we reach the point where a formal announcement is to be made, it will be made then. I'm not here to make any further comment on that. What I said is very much in the public domain. It is not something that is hidden, and therefore I didn't feel that it was necessary to hold that back.
No, but I only heard it on Friday, see, so that's why I wanted to congratulate you. I never heard it on even social media. I see direct with people talking to me.
Yeah, so as I told you, when that time comes, you will get more information as to what I am doing and that sort of thing, okay?
So, next thing, David, yesterday at press conference, I was a little bit disturbed. And I am getting sick of these press conferences because you cannot tell me you're coming Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, then you're coming midday, then you're calling them when you're late, and got me lit. So I think I could, but yesterday was the crux of the matter. Miss Ambassador Thompson, I'm going to give her her respect, said she is surprised at the amount of men, if they're lying me. But David, you didn't pick up that. You should tell her all you had to do was to calculate the amount of men from the prison, because the women was leading all the time by 10 and 12. Every day, the men was always behind. If you subtract the amount of men from the prison, they can't be lying me. And you will see the numbers will have gone back that the women leading. And you didn't pick up that. You let out there slip.
I would have allowed a lot to slip. It was a news conference. First of all, remember, it was a presentation that lasted for about an hour before media people were asked to ask any questions. And of course, in those circumstances, even if the media had been invited to ask questions from early, there would still have been restrictions on how many questions any one person could ask. So one would have to pick and choose very carefully what are the questions that you're going to put there, because you have other media practitioners against the backdrop of what was really a presentation. It was not, the first part of that was not a news conference. That was a presentation.
Next thing, Davey, you know, I like to cut to the chase. This morning, I listened to some overseas news coming out of News 7. They say that the coronavirus left two things. It leaves your lungs scared, and you got some people have to live with oxygen. I don't know if you hear that yet, and it's drop out your hair. You familiar with that? Because our prime minister told us don't listen to news. Only listen to one from Barbados. That's why we got so much problem. And next thing, you hear anything about a coup?
What coup? A coup where?
Huh? A coup in Parliament.
Coup where?
A coup in Parliament.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it. You should start watching some of social media.
I never tell you watch the source. I ask you if you heard there's a difference between hearing and watching. And the last
too much social media for you.
No. Listen, the last thing. When you say you got reserves as a whole, your own money or money that you borrow, you let your cash out.
I think you know full well that quite a lot of the reserves that we have has been borrowed money.
By Canada Reserve?
We have not been able to, we have not, well, that's where the money is put, to protect the foreign reserves.
But
if that's where it's been placed to protect the foreign reserves, what are you going to call it?
Listen, if I don't understand, I want to ask you.
You don't understand very well. I don't believe you.
So listen to me. This is what you understand. If I tell you what you understand, we can work from mm-hmm. there then. Good. If I got $20,000 and I wanted to borrow five, right? You would consider the $20,000. No, I borrow five. If something happened to me, will you say I got reserves or not? Who the reserves concerned would have concerned me? What reserves that we can say that the government has that concern, Barbados? Nothing that is borrowed. That if anything happens, that we ain't got no reserves at all. Because that money is borrowed. And how much of it is ours? That's all they are saying. That's all they want to know.
I really don't understand why that question is so important. The point is that we...
You know what? Let me...
Just stop. If you borrow money on terms that you are to pay back, then the money is yours. What matters is whether you are able to repay the loan.
You coming from where I want?
I don't understand why it is so important for you to argue that the money is not ours. The money is ours as long as we borrowed it and still we can pay back for it.
But I got cut the chairs now with you, David, and this is the last I can leave with you. I don't see the countries in this world getting the better within the next 5 years. I don't see it. If you see it, okay, but I don't see it. Not the
you were,
huh?
You were the guy. You were the guy who was down in 2010 when Thomas passed. You were the fella down the East Coast Road or someplace, saying that you really didn't have any. You weren't gonna lose any sleep over it. Was it you?
Not me.
Not you. Okay.
When Thomas passed, I was in St. Philip.
Okay. I might have had the place wrong, but were you the man who said you weren't worried when you called me the night?
No, not me. I didn't call you in the night.
Okay.
I call you in the night.
All right. Have a good day. Sachs, let me come back to this question which was raised by Wesley earlier. Look, in many instances, the news department of the radio stations rely heavily upon the police media releases when it comes to accidents. Often the difference between us and the people in print is that there's a certain urgency to get it out to meet specific newscasts and that sort of thing. But anyhow, I suspect that what has happened here in this instance is that the media houses that you have referred to would have been relying on the press release which came from the police. The police said on the 6th of February that police in the Southern Division are continuing investigations into a road traffic collision which occurred about 7:05 a.m. on Saturday, the 6th of February, 2021, along the Adams section of the ABC Highway at its junction with Providence Road, Christchurch. Involved was an SUV motor vehicle and a pedal cyclist who has been identified at the scene by a close family member as Ezra Mosley, 62 years, of Warren Village, Christchurch. He was pronounced dead at the scene by a medical doctor who visited the scene. The Royal Barbados Police Force is appealing to the public for anyone who might have witnessed this collision to contact the District B Police Station at 437-4311. Oystens Police Station, and then the emergency number 211. So I think that must have influenced why you heard nothing more, because whoever wrote this story was relying on the police statement. And in many instances, police sometimes withhold information because they are conducting further investigations.